You ever look at an old map and, see a town that just isn't there anymore? You probably assume some massive disaster wiped it out, like a flood or something. But usually it's just a guy in a suit with a ledger saying, well, we're out of money.
Yeah, which sounds like the absolute end of the story, right?
Yeah.
But today we're doing a deep dive into the Beaver County Almanac. Specifically, we're looking at the work of its editor and publisher, Roger Morrow. And he kind of reveals this really fascinating secret.
Right, that communities don't actually die when the money runs out.
Exactly. Our mission today is to help you explore how people absolutely refuse to let progress erase their identity. And Morrow chronicles this perfectly.
He really does. He starts with a surprisingly progressive town called College Hill Borough. It was formed around Geneva College, which, get this, was co-ed and admitting formerly enslaved people way back in 1865.
Wow, that early.
Yeah, and the town grew so confident they actually decided to govern themselves by 1892. They built their own power plant, their own schools.
And Morrow captures that deeply specific local flavor that held them together, right? Like he mentions the enclosed metal tube fire escapes at the school
Yeah.
and what he literally calls the four pillars of local civilization.
Oh, yeah, I loved that part. It was medicine, bread, nails, and chipped ham. Which, wait, is chipped ham just a weird way to say lunch meat, or does it mean something specific to Western Pennsylvania?
Oh, it's a hyper-regional staple. It's
Yeah.
basically very thin, shaved ham, usually cooked in a barbecue sauce.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, it was cheap, it fed the steel workers, and it's just a massive cultural touchstone for that area. They had massive local pride, too. I mean, Geneva College even beat Harvard in football in 1926.
Which is huge. But then, we hit 1930, the Great Depression strikes, and things go south.
Right, the tax base just completely evaporates. They literally couldn't afford a paid fire department or even official stationery.
So they held a vote,
Yeah.
and they actually surrendered their independence, merging with the larger neighboring town of Beaver Falls. And it passed by a razor-thin margin of just 53 votes.
Just 53 votes. That is incredibly close.
I know. It's less like a corporate buyout and honestly more like a scrappy startup being acquired by a massive tech giant. The legal name vanishes, but the culture stays. It really makes you wonder, does a community actually die just because its government runs out of money?
Well, Morrow's core thesis says no. The legal boundaries disappear, sure, but the geographical and cultural identity survives. I mean, the physical G that students carved into the hillside in 1925, it is still there today. The college remains.
So we see how a physical town survives consolidation through shared rituals like local food and football. But this drive to preserve a bygone era isn't just about geography in the almanac.
No, it actively extends into how the publication guides its readers through modern cultural frustrations. This is where Morrow shifts it into a modern survival guide.
Right, like that Grandpa Jim column.
Exactly. He features this column geared toward helping older generations find classic, wholesome TV, like Perry Mason or Leave It to Beaver, on a strict $25 a month budget, basically trying to bypass modern dystopian thrillers.
And Morrow literally gives his readers a financial playbook to do this. He shows them how to use Frndly TV for $11 a month, how to dodge Amazon Prime's hidden $3.99 fees.
Ugh, those hidden fees get everyone.
They really do. He also suggests utilizing free ad-supported apps like Pluto TV and doing what he calls subscription crop rotation.
I love that term so much.
Right, strategically swapping them out. So you buy Hallmark for Christmas, cancel in January, grab Paramount Plus or Pure Flix to binge the archives, then cancel.
It's brilliant budgeting, but it's also a tool for cultural preservation.
See, I get the budget aspect, I totally do, but I have to ask about the motivation here. Are people really missing old black and white TV, or are they just exhausted by having to use three remotes and navigate this massive streaming landscape?
That is a very fair question.
Right. It feels a little like stubborn nostalgia to me, because those old shows didn't actually reflect reality. The sets wobbled, everyone smoked indoors, and nobody really believed husbands wore suits and hats in their own living rooms.
Well, it's easy to dismiss it as nostalgia, but Morrow points out a really poignant conclusion. These old shows didn't represent reality perfectly, but they represented America partly as it hoped to be.
Ah, partly as it hoped to be. I like that.
Yeah. Morrow's publication acts as a bridge. By practicing this subscription crop rotation, they aren't just saving a few bucks. They are using modern tech to intentionally reclaim a piece of that past optimism.
Okay, I can see that. So whether it's a giant physical G carved into a hillside in 1925, or intentionally seeking out a black and white TV show today to remember what optimism felt like, Roger Morrow and The Almanac show us something important.
That our roots refuse to be erased by progress.
Exactly, whether it's the remnants of a lost borough or the digital preservation of classic television.
Identity is just incredibly resilient. It outlasts the legal paperwork and the technological monopolies.
It really does. Which brings us back to you, listening right now. Think about that map with the missing towns. If your own neighborhood or even your current digital life were suddenly absorbed by something much larger tomorrow.
Oh, that's an eerie thought.
It is. What specific physical or cultural artifacts would be left behind to prove you were ever there?